again today? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As the saying goes, something notable or notorious goes out with a bang. Such is the case with God, although in God's case, it won't do to wait until the end. Rather, God chooses to come in with a bang. Well, God also goes out with a bang, but we'll talk about that another day. I used to watch the old Laverne and Shirley shows when I was a kid. Maybe they were already in reruns at the time. I can't quite remember. But it always made me laugh when their creepy little friends, Lenny and Squiggy, would show up. Remember how they did? They wouldn't even knock. They didn't knock on the door. They just threw open the apartment door and yelled, "Hello!" That's what it's like to come in with a bang. Or at the very beginning of the very first Star Wars movie. You know, that was one of the first movies that didn't, at the beginning, have any credits before the movie started. No directed by or starring, just the faded blue words on the screen. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And then let me show you for yourself. Sets things up for the drama to come. To come in with a bang is to announce that things have changed. Nothing is the same anymore. And that's how God likes to do things too, at least sometimes. The people of Isaiah's time knew that God was capable of such dramatic effect. They cried out in chapter 64, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Shake the mountains, set the world on fire, do something totally unexpected." Because as much as we say we don't like change, sometimes it's what we long for the most. The change that God promises is the kind that tips the scales in our favor for once. Change that ushers in a way of things that doesn't suck anymore. Excuse my language, but remember back when we were in the middle of COVID? Remember how we just wished that it would all go away? The isolation, the testing, the masks, the fighting over masks, not to mention the count at the end of each day. How many of us cried out to God, "God, if you could just rip open the heavens and save us from this pestilence." Or in the quiet of a hospital room, with the hand of your beloved, oh, so lightly clinging to yours, "God, just come. Just come and take her home." Perhaps the bang doesn't have to be that loud. And the same thing happens in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus shows up. We don't know if it was a loud bang like Lenny and Squiggy flinging open the door to Laverne and Shirley's apartment, or the gentle rending of the sky as silent as the opening of a Ziploc bag. But the Gospel of Mark says that when Jesus showed up, and when he came to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, after he came up out of the water, Jesus looked up and saw the sky open up. The original language says that the heavens were torn apart, just like they called on God to do back in Isaiah. You see, we have a tendency to domesticate God. We prefer a tame Jesus, like the portraits of Jesus knocking gently on the door or holding children in his arms. We like the Jesus who put the lost sheep on his shoulders rather than the one who reaches over the edge of the cliff to save its sorry little hide. And how many of us have at home cute little nativity scenes with clean white Marys and Josephs and precious little baby Jesuses who definitely didn't just get born, at least not with the muck and mess that most babies come into the world with. God has come into the world with a bang because if he didn't, we'd never pay attention to it. God wants to get our attention. Like John Williams and his trumpet fanfare at the opening crawl of the Star Wars flashes across the screen. You want to watch it again? No. Today we don't start at the beginning of Mark's gospel with the baptism and the rending of the heavens. But we jump in actually towards the end into one of the strangest parts of his story about Jesus. Chapter 13 is called Mark's Little Apocalypse because it's part of the story that uses that type of storytelling. Apocalypse is a genre, right? Like mystery or fantasy or romance. It's a way of writing that uses graphic symbolism to drive home a point about things that are hard to understand. Apocalypse, or Revelation, of course, is an apocalypse. Apocalypse is just the Greek word that means revelation. An apocalypse reveals the truth about something, even as it uses word pictures that are virtually unbelievable. And what Jesus is getting at in Mark 13 is the truth that even in the midst of great suffering, in the middle of the worst calamity, when everything seems lost, that's where God shows up. Even if God has to tear through doors and walls and the very fabric of time and space to do it. This isn't Jesus standing at the door knocking. This is Jesus breaking down the door and ripping it off of its hinges. This is the way God operates. From the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve in the garden disobeyed God and ate of the tree that God had commanded them to leave alone, God didn't turn his back on them and go find someone else to create. God came looking, searching for his beloved creation. God searched in the garden and called to them until he found them. And God heard the cries of the slaves in Egypt and waged war against the gods of the Pharaoh and ripped apart the water of the sea so that the people of the promise could make their way to the new land. God gave words to prophets that ripped into the powers and principalities of empire and demanded that wealth and power and success mean nothing if the poor and the widow, the oppressed and the forgotten are left in the wake of such greed. And although we like that little story of Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, we like that silent night in that little town of Bethlehem and all that came upon that midnight clear. We like that beautiful story, but we cannot ignore the truth that sometimes the sun is darkened, the moon black in the night sky, the stars fall upon our feet, and the powers of all the cosmos shake so violently that we can't find which way is up. If I suggested that you name a few things that cause fear and anger and grief, I don't think it would take you that long. You would say words like cancer, street violence, war, domestic abuse, hunger, family members not speaking to one another, homelessness, drugs, racism, political division. The list could go on and on. I know the news programs on TV like to do a feel-good story every once in a while, because they know that people think that all they do is report the bad news. And it's true. We need to know that the world isn't as horrible a place as we sometimes think it is. But But it's also important to remember that we often choose to see the world through rose-colored glasses. It's a symptom of our privilege to choose not to look at the things in our world that make us uncomfortable. When we can sleep behind protective walls of stone and silence, we might just forget that the storm rages on out there. And that's why Jesus commands us to stay awake. It's not about literal sleeping and waking up. It's about fooling ourselves into thinking that behind our walls of security, nothing can hurt us. Don't let yourselves fall into that kind of perceived contentment, Jesus says. Don't close yourselves off to the realities of the good in the world, but don't forget that not all of creation sleeps as silently as Jesus away in a manger. And the day that is to come when Jesus says that the people of God will be gathered from the four winds, that day isn't some day and time in the future when the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That day is like today, when you and I bring to this place our fears, our worries, our sadness, our grief, our pain, our suffering, not only our own, but that which we know is felt by so many in our neighborhoods and around the world. Today is the day when God rips open the heavens and comes to us. Today, God hears our cries, our list of woes and fears. Today, not someday at the end of time, not sometime later in the year. Today, on this very day, because God cannot wait any longer, God cannot abide the suffering of creation, God will tear open the heavens and bring down the walls and rip through anything in order to get to us, because that's what love does. It happens when we pray for one another and for the world. It happens when we see a need or a hurt and we find some way to help. It happens when we take an envelope from the tree of sharing and we give money to help a family buy some animal and some seeds to make a farm. Or when you put your offering in the plate. It happens when we think, what can we build on this property that will serve the needs of people in our community and then spend a whole lot of money making that happen? It happens when you receive that card in the mail or a hug from a friend, or when you read in the scriptures that promise, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The gospel might slip in quietly among candles and soft singing of Silent Night. I like that way too. But when there's a need, and there are needs aplenty, God comes in with a bang, sure to wake us up. And the world will never be the same. Amen. There's a typo in your